This is MUT Radio Podcast.
MUT Radio, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Dr. Hofika, all the way from Ohio, ne?
Yes, from Ohio.
How was the trip coming to South Africa?
Long.
Very long, I can imagine. Wow, okay. Please do tell us about yourself and where you come from.
So, Ohio's in the Midwestern part of the United States. Is a very much an agricultural area, but we have some large cities, and our large city is Columbus, and we have a major university there with 50,000 students called the Ohio State University.
Okay.
And it is what we call a land-grant university. Those were created by the U.S. government in the 1800s, and they were given grants of land to create universities so that they could develop the same kind of skills MUT focuses on, technical skills ranging from engineering to management to agriculture. And because of that, that university does a lot of research in agriculture, and we have some technologies that we're looking. I'm with a company called Soil One LLC. And my son is the CEO. I work for him. And yes, that works.
Wow.
He's a very good leader, and that works very well. So we're hoping to partner with the researchers and the students here at Mangosuthu University of Technology to be able to make some advancements available to smallholder farmers here in South Africa.
Speaking about the partnership with students, tell us about your visit, in particular here in MUT. Yeah.
So what you would call this is a growing relationship. I first visited Durban nearly a year ago, March of 2023, and had our first face-to-face meeting with the team here from MUT. And as that meeting was a good step, and we were able to say, come visit us. And so your vice chancellor, your vice president of research, and your director of marketing came to visit us in Ohio.
In Ohio.
And we were able to host them. And they wanted to see certain things. They wanted to see the agricultural research functions of the university. They wanted to see some of our partners that are entrepreneurial support agencies. And these are organizations that help people who want to start businesses, because at MUT, they don't just want to create employees. They want to also provide entrepreneurial training so that we create employers for those employees to have a place to work.
Definitely.
And then finally, previously in our work together, my son had a company that used drones and aerial technology.
Okay.
And they thought, this is possibly an area that MUT could become an African leader in, a leader on the African continent in drone research and application, education and training. So for a period of about 3 days, they were able to see some of those entities. So that was step two. They visit us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is now step three, where I'm back for a visit. And we're starting to focus in on that agricultural research, making sure that we're on the same page for our view of the science we'd apply, and then trying to assess the researchers and professors and staff here and the students. What are the capabilities? How can, by working together, both of our missions are advanced?
Okay. Then please tell us about the soil science that you're speaking about and the agriculture. And that is a major part of your partnership with MUT.
Yes. And this is exciting for me because we are at a period of change in the world of agriculture.
Okay.
Advancements in agriculture over the past 150 years have been because of industrialization, taking industrial technologies and applying them to farming. And like always, when you have a technological change, there are great benefits that we've seen in those years, but then there are unintended consequences. And one of the consequences of doing this industrial approach to agriculture is that it becomes reliant on chemicals, not biologicals. That the soil over time has the natural ecology of the soil, the microbes and the small insects, the fungal activities disturbed by industrialization. When you go to farm, you have to use a lot of carbon. You have big tractors and heavy equipment. You burn diesel fuel, and you get in a cycle that starts to place successful agriculture out of the reach of the smallholder farmer. Mm. You get into a cycle that creates environmental damage. And so in the 21st century, there's a shift going on to begin to look at agriculture ecologically, trying to keep the soil naturally fertile, a place where the natural microbes and things that generate nutrients for the plants can grow and flourish and benefit. Now, the kind of equipment you use to do sustainable agriculture is smaller, cheaper, it uses less fuel. It's more accessible to smallholder farmers. The quality of the crop you get out of sustainable, healthy soil, soil health, is has more micronutrients, has more things that otherwise commercial agriculture starts to leave out of our products. And people, if they don't have exposure to supplements, then don't get the full battery of nutrients that their body was designed to get.
Hmm. Okay. As much as you were saying that there are advantages when it comes to this artificial nourishing, but it seems like you're not a fan.
Well, if you want to think about it, where does most of our nitrogen fertilizer come from? It comes from natural gas. Mm. We reach down the soil, we get or down in the geology of the planet, we pull up natural gas, and we take that methane, we strip the carbon off it, throw it in the atmosphere, and then we take this nitrogen and put it back in the soil in a way that disappears from the soil rapidly. Nitrogen gases off rapidly when you put it on the soil. It returns to the atmosphere. Nitrogen runs off and becomes nitrates in water supplies, and so it becomes a threat and a challenge to local water supplies. So these disadvantages, when you think about them, aren't sustainable long term, especially in a world facing climate change. We have to be conservative about our carbon. We can't be very callous about throwing carbon in the atmosphere, not retaining it in the soil.
Okay. And how does this now relate to food insecurity in South Africa as well as the United States?
Yeah. And so especially in South Africa, but all over the world, smallholder farmers, farmers that might have 1 to 5 hectares or something in that order of magnitude, smallholder farmers are presently disadvantaged in the present system. Their products come in very small harvests. The system is not set up to receive those harvests and then put it into the food processing industry. And then they don't really have an economic advantage. Mm. If they begin practicing more ecologically based, sustainable agriculture, they're actually going to then be spending less in the development of the plant. So that they increase their profit margin. They're also going to have crops that are of better quality, have more micronutrients and more balanced in micronutrients. So they may be able to eventually make an argument that their products can demand a higher price. So lower cost, higher price, greater profitability. They're now empowered. These food products, quality food products can be, instead of centralized and driven toward major cities to begin distribute again, can kind of enter a local economy and get to the tables, kind of farm to table sort of process that's more local and regional. Again, lowering carbon inputs. We're not hauling them on trains. We're not hauling them on trucks. And we're having less economic or less environmental impact. We're having greater economic benefit to the farmer, and we're bringing better nutrients to the people.
Wow, this is amazing, Dr. Hofiger, especially because we also do have an agricultural department here in MUT and thereby in North Campus. So I think, as you were saying, this is a growing partnership. We are hoping to hear more and actually learn more about this. But is there anything, before I let you go, is there anything you'd like to add, even maybe to the staff or students?
So on this, we just had a meeting this morning, and it was very rewarding as we talked with your faculty and leadership. To hear how they understand this. They see that this is the next step for the 21st century. And I want to say that we looked at other universities in South Africa. This university was better positioned for pursuing ecological and a soil health approach to soil. And the culture of this university, with its emphasis on integrity and excellence and accountability. These values resonate because as a company, we want to be a company that doesn't just make a profit, but makes a difference. So we always ask ourselves about the partners we run into if they're like a nonprofit like MUT. Do they make a difference? And you're a student here, right?
Yes, yes, definitely.
You know they make a difference. You know they're making the difference in the lives of the students. And because of that, in the culture of the nation as a whole.
Wow. Thank you so much. I really would love to take this conversation much longer, but thank you so much.
Yes.
Really,
I'll be back again.
Please.
We can talk.
Please. I'll be waiting. Thank you so much, Dr. Terry Hoffman.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.